Acts chapter 17. Let's stand and read together a few verses. I pray tonight God might help us. I saw something here studying that I've never seen before. I've seen the Scripture, read the Scripture, used the Scripture, but I never did notice one little particular thought about it, and it caught my attention this morning. The Bible said in Acts chapter 17, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews." Remember, the Jews worship in synagogues, even to this day, really. "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Now, I want to throw this in because I probably won't get back to it. He reasoned with them. When you reason with somebody, you're kind of halfway in the argumentative mood, not trying to be argue, but when you reason with somebody, you're having to get deep and answer questions and get into it. And you'd say, why were church folks that way? Because they're switching from law to grace, and they don't understand everything. So Paul is spending three Sabbath days, I guess it would be Sundays here that they call it, and reason with them out of the Scriptures. Verse 3 said, "opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, the Anointed One." That's what Christ means. And so he's reasoning with them. He's preaching them the gospel. The Bible said, "and some of them believed and consorted." That didn't mean that they argued with him, or that means that word consort means to get in union with them or partnership with Paul and Silas. "And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." So they had a crowd that's joined in. But look at verse number 5. "But the Jews which believed not," there were some that did not believe, "but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go." You'd be seated. Amen. And let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank you that we have a privilege to open the precious, unadulterated, holy, wonderful Word of God. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we can draw strength from the throne of God and from the heaven above. Lord, we try to draw strength from the world and can't find it. Try to draw strength from many today in our lives and we can't get it. But Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that never leaves us. And the Lord is always pure and straight every time we read it. We thank you tonight that you've been with us all these years and we still have the promise that you're not going to leave us. Touch us tonight to say something that might help this people tonight. And God, that we might go home rejoicing in the things of the Lord. We'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to turn our thought tonight to verse number 6. "And when they found them not," they were looking for the house of Jason, and they were seeking to bring out the believers, those tonight. And notice it was the unbelievers that were doing it. And keep that in the mind, in the back of your brain. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren, that's the believers, unto the rulers of the city crying. Notice this little phrase, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now, I want to point out and look at this tonight. These are people that said that the people of God were turning the world upside down. And I'd like tonight to share with you, what would it take for us tonight at Bible Way Baptist Church to turn the world upside down? I guess somebody might first of all say, we can't do it. Well, that's going to be in our first point. Amen, in just a minute. But I want you to notice this. What the part I never caught before of seeing this all the time is, you would think, and I thought it was the believers, and that's kind of took it for granted for years in preaching. But if you'll look at this, who is it that said they were turning, who turned the world upside down? It was those in verse 5, but the Jews which believed not. There were unbelievers that said that. It wasn't Christian people that were saying it. It was unbelievers. And they moved with envy. They took unto them lewd, certain lewd fellows, wicked men. Men who had no heart for God. Men who had no desire for the Lord. And they even called them of the baser sort and gathered a company together. And they set all the city on an uproar. They stirred the city up. And then they began to talk about the saints of God here that they had turned the world upside down. The fact is, they were turning it right side up because sin had already turned it upside down. I preach that a lot of times. But looking at this tonight, I see that these fellows, and I believe that the people here that were with Paul here in the place, I believe these were nothing special. They were just born again believers, saved by the grace of God, loved God with all their heart, and followed God with all their soul. Nothing special about them. I look at Bible Way Baptist Church tonight. There's nothing special about any of us. We're just plain. You said I'm special. Well, amen. Go climb a ladder somewhere and tell the world. Amen. But I say right now, nothing real special about us. We're sinners saved by grace. In all our ways that we do, we're certain things we can do that another one can't do or won't do. But listen, how are we going to turn the world upside down? And the first thing you say is, I don't believe we can. Well, I'm going to tell you the people that turned the world upside down, I'm going to give you some characteristics about them tonight. And I believe these had it. And I'm not going to preach on all of them because I ain't got time. But number one, they were men and women, and if you'll notice in verse number 4, that they were devout Greeks. In other words, as devout Gentiles. They could have been devout Jews if they had got born again and been there, but God said they were devout Greeks, a great multitude of them. And a great multitude, and secondly, they were the crowd was filled with chief women, not a few. There's a lot of them. Little sweet ladies that love God, walk for God, talk for God, live for God. That was the congregation. That's what was turning the world upside down. What were they preaching? They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we to preach? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What were the Jews getting upset about? They didn't want to hear about another king. Because if you'll notice in one of these verses here in verse 7, he said, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Caesar was the king, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. At least these people had something in common. What was it? They had faith. Now, if we want to turn the world upside down, at Bible Way Baptist Church, we're going to have some faith. I'm not talking about a little bitty bit of faith, and the most that we've got tonight's little bitty, amen. You don't have to have a ton of it. The Bible said if we have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, we can say to the mountain, be you removed. So it lets me know tonight that, you may have to get a magnifying glass to see what kind of faith I've got. And you may have to have, some micronic scales or micro scales to even weigh any of your faith. Amen. Can anybody measure what you have tonight in faith? You can't. Amen. You can't see faith. Amen. You can't feel faith. You can feel the results of it. But you can't feel faith. Now let's go. Look at this tonight. We have to have and be men and women of faith. Faith is what changed and turned the world. What's kind of faith? Faith believing that God can and God will and God is able and God will. Somebody said, I don't know where He will or not. That's not faith. That's doubt. And that's why I said a while ago, first point tonight is, can we turn the world upside down? Well, we can't turn the world upside down for God here in America out of Bible Way Baptist Church. Well, we may have gone to the point of no return. I don't know. But I don't, as long as I don't never classify an individual that's alive, that's already hell-bound, and I don't say that he tonight don't have a chance. As long as a man's got breath or a woman's got breath, I'm going to preach to them. Amen. That last little word I might say to him, I trust that that'll change it. Hey, can we tonight not do something more than what we're doing tonight by faith, believing that God can and God will? God can't do it, they'll say. Well, most of us don't really pay much attention to it. We're not trying to muster up our faith. What is faith? Just can't. It's just plain out believing God. I've thought about things down through the years. I've met some people that believe God. I met some people that could tell you God's going to do something and watch God do it. Amen. I remember lots of things we've had down through the years. We built one church and established one over in South Carolina. And I remember we went into that building. We built a little building and started that church. And when we went in that building, it was paid for. Bought the property and we built a building on that property and had service in it, and the building was paid for. Amen. They wanted quite a bit of money for it, and we went to see the fellow about it, and he said, what you want it for? I said, we're going to use the building there for a church. The building's on it, and we're going to build a building out on the hillside and have a church. And he said, well, I ain't so sure you can do that. Said, I believe his ordinances against it. Found out there was no ordinances. And it was free for us to do. And he said, you fellas can't come up with that kind of money. And I said, well, no, we might not can, but I know a God in heaven that can. And he said, well, I don't know. And it was like February the 4th, 1979, I believe it was. So we constituted that church. And by Easter Sunday, he told us we'd have to have $11,000, $12,000, I believe $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, one of those three figures, as a down payment on that place. If we could get that, he'd sell it to us. You know how much we had in bank? About $400. Just had started, constituted, meeting, in a home, and, you know how long it is from February to Easter? It was like a month and a half, 2 months. Amen. Reckon you can muster up $10,000, $11,000 in the next 2 months here? Amen. Some of you probably sitting on enough that you can handle it in 1 minute. But anyhow, we were poor folks. And so we knew that we had that, and we prayed and sought the face of God. Matter of fact, today we went to look at the property before we were going to buy it. And I'm not bragging on us. I'm not bragging on me, because the people loved God. And they did it. And we went to that property to look it over. I told them, I said, we found some place where we can have service. And there was about a 2 or 3 inch snow on the ground that morning on a Sunday after service. And there's a big old pasture out there and the house and everything. And the pasture was the line. And I said, that's the line right there. And one of them said, well, preacher, let's just walk around it and claim it. I said, help yourself. I didn't feel like walking in the snow. But the church folks got out there and they walked down, and ladies and men too, not all of them, but many of them, and they walked around the pasture fence. I just imagine what the neighbors were saying that day. And we'd just had service, and they walked around the fence, and we gathered right there in the open and began to pray, and it was cold. You know, when it's snowing, it's cold. And we sought the face of God and said, God, we claim this for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need the money. We don't have anything. Lord, help us. Amen. Well, people started giving money. Some of them give money they didn't even have. Little old lady in the church, she spoke up and she said, preacher, I was getting ready this morning to come to church, and the Lord told me to give $500 to the church offering so that we could help get into that building. And she said, the thing is, he told me to give $500 and I don't have it. And I said, well, you just go ahead and give it and tell us we can count on that. She said, well, God said to give it, so I'm giving it wherever it's coming from. And the next day, her son had sent her a check for $500 because he just said, I want to give you something. I love you and I want to send this to you. Amen. And I said that morning, we was taking up money, and I said, hey, I'll give $100 right now. And I don't have it. I'll just give it, trust God for it. Amen. And I went home. And my wife was fixing lunch, and she was preparing, the phone rung, and I answered it, and it was my mother-in-law. Lord, have mercy. And she said, Dennis, I said, yes. She said, Marie Adair, some of you may remember Marie Adair. Said, Marie Adair came to me today at church at Victory and said, gave me a check and said, the Lord told her to send this to me. And said, I just wanted to let you know I got it. I'm going to mail it to you. I said, what is it? She said, it's a check for $100. And we watched God do that. We went into that building. It was paid for. We dedicated it and consecrated it to God. And we watched that by faith. And I've seen it happen over and over and over and over. I've just watched God do it. I remember when I went to down to Norcross to preach. Went down there. When I went down there, and I've told this a few times. When I went down there, what they told me what they were going to give me as a salary in pastoring that church. I was working on a job over here, and I was making a salary, and I was on salary. And they said, we going to give you X amount of dollars, and I said, praise God. And the pastor up here at Hollywood Baptist Church at that time had come over to my house a day or two before that, and he said he had brought a set of books I'd bought from him, and I told him I was going to go to Doraville, he said, or Norcross, and he said, that's good. And he said, are they going to pay you good? That's the first thing he said. That burns me up. And I said, I told him what they're going to. He said, oh, you shouldn't go down there for less than this. And he named the number. I went anyhow. My bills added up to more than they were going to pay me. Amen. You said, why'd you go? Because God said, go. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He said to Abraham, get up and get out and go. And he went. God said, I'll show you when you get there. Amen. And so when guess what happened? Went down there and I didn't start. Amen. Done good. Fired well. Kept on moving. Been moving ever since. Amen. I got here and I settled down here. I'm tired of moving. Amen. I don't know. It may come down to the place I have to go to the house when there ain't nobody else here. But it's looking tonight. It's thinning down mighty thin pretty quick. But amen. I'm not going to get too much worried about that anymore. Somebody said, so-and-so not coming, so-and-so's not coming. Well, somebody's going to be out here sudden. Somebody's going to be out here. I just say, all right, praise God. I don't have to answer for that, see. I don't have to answer for that. I'm going to be here, Lord willing, or I'm going to be there, Lord willing. I'm talking about in glory. Amen. As if it ain't going to be long, everybody's going to get an excuse anyhow. Can't come to church, can't buy gas. Because I heard the president, your president, he's going to shut down another pipeline. Amen. I was sitting over there today studying, and I thought about all this stuff runs through my mind sometimes. And I thought, well, praise God, I'm going to have some faith believing God's going to take care of me. I heard them say that, you know, you get all your essentials up, make sure you get it. You may not have things for Christmas. And there's a lot of things that you can't buy now. I went in the other morning and I was going to get me a tenderloin, piece of tenderloin for my breakfast. And they said, we don't have none. The hogs is went on strike or not, but they didn't have no meat. So they'd eat something else. And I won't usually eat tenderloin, but I was going to try it that morning. But yes, guess what? I heard on the news, and I'm not talking about the big news out there. I don't pay much attention to all that. I can't tell what they are telling me no how. But I was listening to Christian radio today. I mean good Christian radio. Amen. Not around here. Listening to good Christian radio, and they said this. That things were higher. They're the highest they've ever been for 30 years. I measured that back, and I'm somewhere in the ballpark, and that's back when Peanut Farmer was the president. Right in that area. He hadn't got through it or nothing. So 30 years back, that's what, 1990? I don't know when Carter was. It's a little earlier than that, but we hadn't recuperated from him. Amen. And it's pretty bad being. I thought, well, amen. I ain't starved to death with all that. And then I got to thinking about it. The president said this. He said, we're going to build back better. But I'm thinking it's going to cost us a whole lot to build back better. $4 a gallon for gas pretty soon. You're going to cut out another pipeline that's going to make it go up more. Can't get groceries, some of the things, staples of some things you're not going to get. Somebody told me yesterday that they already had some shortages of toilet paper in some areas. Anybody know that? I don't. This feller told me that yesterday. And they're getting some things and some things they're not getting. I guess people are hoarding it up and scared to death about it. Amen. But I believe that a lot of it ain't getting there. Well, we're going to build back better. And I liked what we had. And it's going to cost a whole lot to get there. But I'm going to trust God for every single bit of it. I don't believe I'll starve to death, and if I do, I'm going to tell a lie before I die and tell everybody I was fasting. Praise God. I ain't going to lie about it till I starve to death. And I don't believe I'll have to. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now look here. These fellas had some faith. They believed God. They knew that God would, that He was a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. They believed God came. They believed God did. And they watched Him move upon them. And guess what those people in the town that didn't like the preaching the Word of God, and they liked Caesar, and they're the worldly folks, and those people that didn't like anything of the gospel. You know, we're living just like them today in this time. You name the name of Christ. And I'll guarantee you, you'll get laughed at, made fun of. They'll laugh at you. Amen? They sure will. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. They looked at these people and they saw that they believed God. And they said, we trust God. We're not going to turn the world upside down until we have enough faith and people know we believe God. Thank you. Amen. I'm right. They don't know whether you believe God or not. Another thing that they noticed was these people were on fire. They weren't playing. They are serious. Until we get on fire for God. Brother, I'll tell you what, until we get the place that we want to live and move and in Him have our being, we don't change anything. Now let's just ask you a question. How many has seen a real revival in the last 20 years? Amen. Listen to the Pentecostals. They have revival all the time, they say. And the reason they get, you know why their doctrine is so bad, don't you? Because they use the book of Acts for their doctrine. Child of God shouldn't do that. We use the epistles for our doctrines and what we hold to and what our beliefs are. The book of Acts is just a book of history. It tells how it all come together. Amen. So they're talking about one speaking in tongues here and one speaking in tongues over there. You don't find that in the epistles. And what they're just getting started with. 1 Corinthians is all in an uproar and got messed up. You'll never find where they spoke in tongues in the epistles. Paul had to kind of straighten it out with everybody. But these fellows, men and women in the church here, in verse number 4, is it? Yes, verse number 4. They were on fire. I remember we used to come to church and people were praying constantly. They come in praying. We come in laughing and cutting up now. But years ago, they come in with God in their mind. They didn't come to church to communicate with one another, to fellowship one another. It's good to have all that, and I like it. Praise God for that. But we can fellowship in the Lord and still get in touch with God while we're here. Amen. They come in, got down on their knees. They sought the face of God in the altar. Amen. I could ask you to come to the altar and pray and just about have to beg you to come to the altar sometimes. And I remember when people come to the altar and the preacher didn't have to say anything. They got under conviction. They got on fire for God, or under conviction, one of the two. How long has it been since you spent the night on your knees? How long has it been since you prayed most of the night for somebody that's going to hell? There ain't nobody hardly in this building what don't have a family member somewhere that's lost. If they're not lost, they're out of the will of God. And we push it off and shrug a shoulder at it like it's nothing to it. But I want to tell you, they're dying and going to hell. And you know, you got a loved one and I got a loved one, and all of us have loved ones tonight that are going to hell, and they could be in hell before morning. Well, they're a lot younger than I am. Can you guarantee they'll be here tomorrow? You can't even guarantee yourself. And these fellows is on fire. They were coming in worshiping Jesus and standing up and singing songs and magnifying Christ and lifting Him up. And they were being talked about for doing it. And they said, these folks have turned the world upside down. Amen. We don't have enough power to do that. These folks were on fire for God. Not only did they have faith and have fire, but they had a friend that stick it closer than a brother. They had a Savior that they could count on, could trust. Do you have that tonight? You said, yes, praise God. I thank God for my friend. But I'm talking about a friend that stick it closer than a brother. I go through a lot of valleys sometimes. I don't know about you, but I go through some valleys. I appreciate the valleys when I get out of them. Don't like them when I'm going through them. I thank God for the problems and trials that I have, because they do one of two things. They show me how much more I need Him, and then they strengthen me when I see what He does in the midst of every one of them. I believe the church, and I'm saying this tonight, I believe the church and born-again believers right now are fixing to face the biggest time in the day of grace that we've had except back yonder in Reformation. You know, we've forgotten a lot of things. In the early days of the church, I don't know whether you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs or not, but if you've never read it, you ought to get that book and read it. It'll tell you how that they suffered. They buried them in the catacombs because they couldn't be on the outlands underground, most of them, a lot of them. They burned them at the stake back in the early days of the church, and then even the Reformation, those times when they stood for God, they'd pile up wood and put them at the stake and they would burn them. They would feed them to the animals and put them in skins and hang them up for the animals to devour them. They would put them on ships and tie chains to them and weights and throw them overboard. We've gone through that. God's fixing to give all that back to them. But I'm saying to you tonight, we're facing things that we ain't never faced, fixing to anyhow. And we better be on fire for God. We better buckle up and get in and get involved. Get on our knees and seek the face of God. Listen, time's running out on us tonight. You say, well, if it's running out, thank God for that. Yeah, but I got loved ones I don't want to see left behind.
Amen.
If the rapture took place tonight, and I've got family members. I mean family members. I'm talking about close relatives tonight. That if the Lord come tonight, I ain't sure they'd go. Matter of fact, I doubt that they'd go.
Amen.
I'm not judgmental. But when you tell me you got saved when you was 5 years old, ain't been to church but 3 or 4 times that length of time, and you're headed to the graveyard and almost there, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. I wonder if you got it. These folks were on fire. They had faith. They had a friend that stood close to the brother. They had foes. The devil certainly was against them. They weren't on the Lord. They weren't on the devil's side. They were enemies to the devil. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, they don't like me, and I don't want them to like me. Somebody said the other day I was in a place, and I said this lots of times, but this other morning they said, "How's the world treating you?" And I said, "Not very good, and I'm glad." And they just look at you. The world goes treating me good. I joined up with them. Amen. Birds of a feather flock together is an old saying. That's not Bible. Some Baptists would think it is. Amen. But I'm telling you, these folks here turned the world upside down. I just want to leave this with you tonight. Look at this, would you? Verse 6. And when they found them not, they couldn't find all of them, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city. They took them in. They hauled them in, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." They've come here. Now, these are the ones we've heard about. And where they've come from, now they're come to here. Now they're going to turn our world upside down, is what they're saying. I'd like to get things stirred upside down, wouldn't you? Our nation's in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Our people in the church are in a mess. Brother, our morals. But I'll tell you what, morals are going out the door, out the window. There's no absolutes anymore. Everything's all right. Nothing seems to be wrong anymore. Well, we can't live perfect. No, but we could do a lot better job than what we're doing.
Yeah.
We'd be more perfect than what we are. Say amen, and I guarantee you that's the truth. We could. I could do better. You could do better. Just wanted to share that with you tonight. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And it wasn't the elite of the church. It was the elite of the world that was saying this tonight. It wasn't the Christian people saying it. It's the lost people. Wouldn't you like to hear the lost people? Wouldn't you like to hear the religious people? And more of the religious people are lost now, by the way. Just because they thump a Bible and carrying a Bible. Amen. That don't mean that they're real. Amen. You look across America and see what's going down in their churches. And people are going, ones they go to are the ones that's growing. It's because they are not preaching the Word of God. People don't want it. We're living in that day. So anyhow, wouldn't you like to see the world say, Bible Way Baptist Church, you're on fire. And I'm not talking about literal fire. I'm talking about spiritual fire. Those people at Bible Way Baptist Church have some faith. I've seen what they can do. I've seen what God does with them. I've seen what God has given them. I've seen what God has done for them. Why don't people get saved anymore? Why don't we have them saved at Bible Way Baptist Church? I won't get you to answer that because you'd probably be answering the wrong thing, wrong way. Most people think it's a preacher because people don't get saved. Then I'll tell you, name a preacher in the county that's getting them saved. Name me a preacher in the state that's getting them saved ever, sir. I preached for 51 years and I remember one church not far from here. I preached and for 13 consecutive services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I got some witnesses here that'll witness that. We had them for 13 services. We had at least one saved. Sunday morning, one to get saved. Sunday night, one to get saved. Wednesday night, two may get saved. Three might get saved on the next Sunday. Sunday night, it was on a roll. And you know what was happening? People got right with God, got on fire for God, and they went out and got them. And brought them to the house of God. Not only did they go get them, but they were hearing. Amen. I was driving down the road yesterday, and now listen to this, I'm going to close. Listen. I was driving down the road yesterday, and I was going to Cornelia, and I didn't pay much attention to it, but I was headed down south. Got down the road not too far from my house, and there they had a big old fire burning a big old pile of brush. And I said, oh, I guess they let that dry out and it's burning. And I didn't think nothing about it. Went on to Canadian, got my stuff done, cut through, went back around, went up the highway, come back around the other way, and come back in out through the Clarksville and back down toward the house, and I looked in the forward up there and I said, ooh, look at that smoke. Smoke, something's on fire. Big smoke. And then it dawned on me just right around the curve down from me. They got a big fire burning all that. And if you ever seen people, have you ever looked at that? When you see a smoke, what do you want to do? You just keep driving. You keep a looking. You want to see what's on fire. Amen. Bible Way Baptist Church gets on fire, guess what's going to happen? They're going to come see what's happening. They get in here. Let's get on fire. Amen. Get on fire. Heads bowed. We need to be